Welcome to GMFC Studios, God's production company.
God bless you. Grace and peace be magnified, increased in your lives. I thank you for taking this opportunity to join with us here in GMFC Studios as we talk about God's holy word. I'm excited about those that are tuning in and also those that have made their way out to the studio. We thank the Lord for you. Let's get right into the Word of God today. We're in part two of The Power of Prayer. It's my intention to try to close this out today so that next week we can start our new series, knowing and understanding who God is, who is God, and kind of reckoning that within our own psyche so that we can properly apply His holy word in our lives. So again, I encourage you, stay with us. I'm going to give probably more information than I should, but it's in an attempt to close this series out today, The Power of Prayer. And I want to just talk to you from the subtopic, God's Secrets. Now, last week we talked about the power of prayer and found that, you know, many, even outside the body, who pray in, you know, times of trouble, and those within the body of Christ often fall into a routine or somewhat mundane prayer life that just regurgitates memorized words that they learned when they were young, something that their parents or loved ones told them about or shared with them and said, hey, you need to make this prayer or do this prayer. Or even as we see in some religions across the world, very specific memorized prayers, like in the Christian faith, the Our Father. Or we lack the intimate relationship with God to just be real. And when we pray like that with just regurgitated words, we lack any engagement with our thought life. We must strive to be purposeful in every prayer, engaged and involved in every facet and detail of the things that we speak with God about. Now, we also have to be ready to listen. Too often, we do God like, okay, I'm done talking, and, you know, so this conversation is over, rather than sitting and waiting to hear what God has to say so that we can receive whatever it is that we've brought before Him, the help, the deliverance, the peace, the blessing, the prosperity that He has for us. So as we continue this discussion, my prayer is that we'll take more seriously and more purposefully our prayer language and our prayer lives. Now, we've been talking a lot about Elijah as an example of a prayer lifestyle. And as we have seen in Elijah, prayer should be predicated on what God has already declared. So here's your first bullet point for today's sermon. Prayer should always be predicated, preceded, founded upon what God has already declared, what He has said in His word that He will do. We understand that God guards His word. He watches over His word. He ensures that His word doesn't go by the wayside. And in order to do this effectively, we need to study His word, graphe, understand His message, logos, and become intimate with His utterance, rhema. Now, if you remember, we talked about what we talked about last week. If we do this in this manner, when we pray, we will know what we are to pray, what we are to pray for, and how we are to pray in alignment with the will of God. Now, the Bible tells us that God has secrets. He has secrets. There are things for which we just don't know. There are things that are hidden right in front of our face because we lack the understanding to perceive what God is saying. So there are secrets, but this is the blessing and the benefit of being in His will. He has a desire and a willingness to share with you His secrets. So here's bullet point number two for today. God wants to share his secrets with me. He wants to share those secrets with me. Now, secrets are special things that you only tell to, you know, people who are the closest to you. You know, the people that you think can handle what you're getting ready to let them in on. People that you don't think will run and tell that, so to speak. Put your business out in the street. People that you trust wholeheartedly. Well, God wants to share his secrets with you. God wants you to be so close to him that he can lean over and whisper his secrets in your ear. Now, if you don't believe me, you know, you don't have to believe me, but if you don't, that's an indication, a red flag to me that you're not reading your Bible as you should, because in the book of Psalms, the 25th chapter and the 14th verse, this is what the Bible declares. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. In today's language, God wants to share his secrets with you. You ought to say that to yourself. God wants to tell me his secrets. Now, that's an amazing and a wonderful thing all wrapped up in one. God wants to let me in on stuff that other people just don't know. Now, when God reveals to you his secrets, his promises in his word, that is when you are able to take God's word and send it right back to him. That's when you can say, God, you said in your word, thus and so. Now, prayer, in a sense, is holding God accountable to what he has already said he will do. Prayer lets God know that we have been listening and studying his holy truth. Prayer is not simply seeing something that you want and naming it and claiming it, like some people would have you to believe. If God didn't tell you he's going to give you that nice new job with that corner office and picturesque window view, then you can pray until you're blue in the face and that nice new job will still belong to somebody else, because it wasn't what God spoke over your life. Now, the foundation of prayer is knowing what God has already said. So God has given us literally thousands of promises in his word, and that number may not even be close. Now, if you desire to know what those promises and declarations of God are, then I encourage you to start in his word, because it's there you will find every last one of them. Now, we do ourselves a disservice when we don't take the time to learn and know God's word. I'm an avid golfer, And to play better, you have to practice. But practice isn't enough. You have to be a student of the game. You have to understand how the game is played. You have to understand how the body works. You have to understand how the clubs, in correlation with the body, in the proper alignment with the ball that's sitting still on the ground but seems to be so difficult to strike and put where you want it. You have to understand all these facets, which requires you to study, watch videos, read books, listen to people who've been there, done that. This is how you grow and become better. You take the things that you've studied and you apply them in your practice, and then you are growing or maturing in the things that you're learning. Well, our prayers become too often vague or empty, or they become full of things that God never intended to do. Either way, we end up tossing our armor into the back of the closet and just saying, you know, prayer didn't work for me. It may work for you, but it did not work for me. And we get frustrated and we throw in the towel. We're just ready to give up or try something new, as if prayer is just something that we try to get through. Then we often call someone or meet up with our friends and try to find some human solution, or at least someone who can give us sympathy or have empathy for what we are dealing with or battling through. But in truth, you need answers much more than you need sympathy. It's nice to have a sympathetic ear, but what I need is healing, deliverance, peace, prosperity, whatever it is that I'm seeking after. That's what I really need. It feels good mentally to know that somebody is concerned about you and, feel bad for what you're going through or whatever. And then while that's all nice and good, it doesn't change my situation. It doesn't give me the information that I need to get over the hump. It's just somebody saying, I understand what you're going through. I need someone to not just understand, I need someone to help me through. I need to be able to talk to somebody who can give me what I need, lead me in the right direction. I need heaven to invade earth. And the only way to access heaven's authority on earth is through the power of prayer. It's like the television that you have in your homes or the mobile devices that you carry everywhere you go. There are signals that are floating around in the air, all kinds of data that's in the air at all times. But you won't be able to use those signals. You won't be able to benefit from the data that's available until you turn your device on, or, as they say, plug in. And when you do that, what was invisible has become visible to you. What you could not see before, you are able to see now. You can see the image on your device because you have received the signal that's been constantly broadcast in the atmosphere. Now, God has provided us, his children, with everything we need to broadcast his glory, not only within our own lives, but also to a world in need of seeing him, which is why we were created to be the reflection of his glory. The ultimate goal for humanity is to reflect the glory of the Creator. This is why we were made in his image. I don't have time to get into that today. Research some of my previous sermons and you'll see where I begin to explain the necessity of God's declaration in our creation that we be made like him. But what's available to us in the invisible realm is access through prayer. So God, as we know, recognizes present, and he's around us all the time. His angels are constantly moving, around in the physical realm, surrounding us, ready to make war for us, standing ready to engage as we call upon them to engage and command them according to the word of God, that host of angels that encamp about those who love the Lord and fear the Lord. In fact, there are also demons that are surrounding you as well. Now, we just can't see the spiritual realm until we draw it down into the physical reality that we often find ourselves in. So we have to understand timing. Timing is everything. There is a time and a season for everything. So then we have to recognize that if this is true, there must be an opportune time for us to engage the things of God. So Paul's instruction in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse, includes a very important term. He directs us to pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, the English word times in this passage is often misattributed, misinterpreted to be born from the Greek word chronos. And chronos simply refers to time in general, seconds, minutes, hours, months, weeks, days. It's, just a specific general period of time. So you'll often hear a believer saying, that this passage means that we're to be praying all of the time. Now, that is something that we do if we look in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Check the text. We're told to pray without ceasing. Okay, that's pretty clear. Pray without ceasing means never stop praying, which means pray all the time. But that's different from what Paul is telling us to do in this particular passage in Romans. Remember that all of the scripture has context, which helps us understand what is being said so we can interpret accurately and properly apply. When Paul wrote, "Pray at all times," he specifically chose the much more distinctively defined Greek word kairos. He chose kairos in the writing instead of chronos. But why would he do this? Is something being revealed? Have we just run into a secret of God that he's letting us in on? Is there a secret here that God wants you to catch? Well, kairos has to do with a specific time. If I were to say to you that I will meet you for lunch at 12:15 p.m., then you know that I'm going to meet you at 12:15 p.m. Now, that's different from saying, let's do lunch sometime. Chronos, a generality, no specificity, and just leaving it at that. The specificity that's detailed in the word kairos of, in my example, 12:15, has been chosen as an opportune or appointed time. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought, appointed time, and you're going to see how appointed times are often available to us if we recognize and see what God is doing as detailed in his word. So when Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and 18 to pray at all times, he specifically is pointing out that we're to pray at opportune or appointed times in relation to the evil day. Remember, everything is built upon context. You have to understand what is being said. So in relation to the evil day that he had just finished writing about. The evil day is the day when spiritual warfare is staring you in the face and all hell is breaking loose in your life. Now the question, you know, it gets raised, what do I do when you feel the weight of a spiritual attack against you? At those times, Paul says, pray. It's at those times that the day demands, the evil day, that period that is specific in the attack against you demands the power of the armor connected with concentrated, specific prayer. My wife and I just engaged in this type of opportune prayer the other day as we were dealing with something that wasn't directly, in a sense, something that a weight that we were bearing or an attack that was specific to us as individuals, but it was an attack that's specific to those that we love. And we engaged in pointed and specific prayer according to what God has declared in his word, trusting and believing over our emotional state what God has declared in his word. Now turn with me in the book of Romans to the 8th chapter. I'm going to read for you the 22nd through the 23rd verse. It should be coming on your screen because it's very important that we see something about these times. So Romans 8, 22 and 23 declares, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Does that sound familiar? Has the battle ever made you so weary that you actually groan? That you just sit there and find yourself uncontrollably crying or dealing with emotional outbursts because your physical man can't understand, grapple with, deal with, be at peace with what is going on in your life? Has life or people hurt you so badly that you find yourself unable to do much more than wait eagerly for the redemption of the body? It's especially at these specific times that you must suit up Or as the songwriter said, put your armor on and pray. What happens when you pray at a time like this? Not according to the flesh, with random, vague, previously memorized prayers out of your habitual living, but rather according to the Spirit of God that's dwelling in you, by connecting with and focusing on what God has to say concerning the matter of crisis in your life. If we continue in Romans, the 8th chapter, we read that in those times, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the 26th and the 27th verse of the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And it's then that the Spirit groans with you, travails with you. Remember last week we talked about being in a position of travail, because he knows how deep the problem or the hurt or the need or the attack really is that you're dealing with. So he comes alongside of you in these specific or kairos moments when you don't think you can make it not one more day. It's then that he ushers you into the very presence of God while he calls on God to do the will of God in your specific situation at this specific moment. Now, realizing all that's actually going on during prayer ought to really invigorate your prayer life. For many people, prayer can seem boring, but that's only because they don't understand what's happening in the invisible realm as the result of their prayers in the physical realm. If we could truly grasp all that happens in the invisible realm, in the spiritual realm, in response to our prayers, prayer would be the top priority in all of our lives. And we would do what Paul urges: pray at all times in the Spirit. We have to recognize that there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. In the book of Daniel, we find one of the greatest illustrations of prayer. We begin by seeing that Daniel is studying God's word. This is the place that you should always find a believer, in the process of studying the word of God. So Daniel is studying God's word, and then he begins responding to God in prayer based upon what he has discovered in his studies of the word. So on your screen now should be Daniel 9, 2 through 3. I'm going to read this for you. Daniel 9, 2 through 3. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This closes with that position of travail. So important that we grasp and understand. This isn't something that we flippantly do, or you know, you add it to something else that you're doing in the moment. This is you putting life on pause so that you can talk to God. We find that Daniel discovered what God had said. This is what we discover when we study. Then he talked to God about what God said. Oftentimes when we go to God in prayer and we're trying to get ourselves out of our crisis, we only talk to God about our crisis and never about what God has declared in his word. Anytime you take God's word and talk to him about his word, you are praying in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, something wonderful happens. So let's take a look a little bit further in Daniel, the 9th chapter, the 20th through the 22nd verse. It should be on your screens now. The Bible declares, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Now notice what that while Daniel was praying, God sent an angel to help him understand even more than he previously had understood. God's desire is to reveal himself to us. Now, God did not send the angel to give Daniel understanding until Daniel prayed in response to what God had already declared. Now, we see this in the next verse, in the 23rd. "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." As soon as Daniel began praying, God gave the direction to Gabriel to go to Daniel to give him more understanding. So Daniel 10 gives us greater insight into this occasion. In the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, and starting at the 10th verse to the 15th verse, it should be coming on your screen, it declares, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb." Now, when Daniel prayed to God in response to God's words revealed through the prophet Jeremiah, God sends a messenger to help him understand what's going on. Now, twice we read in these two chapters that God sent the angel on the day that Daniel prayed to God in accordance with God's already revealed word. Why is this something that is being repeated for us to see? Because there is a necessity for us to understand that to engage heaven in earthly affairs, the people of God have to pray. And when you and I are praying according to God's own word, he hears us and he responds to us. So the delay in receiving that response was caused by spiritual warfare. Remember, just a few moments ago, I shared with you that even as the angels and God are around us all the time, so is the evil kingdom. There is warfare going on. And as the angel came, Gabriel came, he was caused or engaged in spiritual warfare in the heavenly realm. Gabriel had been dispatched to go to Daniel with a message of understanding from God. But the prince of Persia, a demon, blocked Gabriel from reaching his destination for the period of about 3 weeks. Now, when we fail to realize that our battles are being waged in the spiritual realm, we may make the false assumption that God hasn't heard us or that he doesn't care about our situation. But as we have seen in this case presented in God's word concerning Daniel, God not only heard Daniel's prayer when he first offered the prayer, but also responded immediately to the prayer of Daniel. Yet because there is a battle taking place in the invisible spiritual realm, there was a delay in God's response reaching its intended destination. In fact, another angel, the Prince Michael, was needed in order to eventually remove the power of the demon engaging Gabriel and preventing him from getting the message of understanding to Daniel. Michael removes this obstacle. Now, ultimately, the Prince of Persia got double teamed in order for God to deliver his message to Daniel. No battle, no war has ever lasted for only a minute. Yet sometimes it seems that what we must believe when we say our prayer and then go our way, disappointed when God doesn't respond immediately. But there are more reasons to keep praying than simply to ask again for the thing that you are seeking. If what you're praying is in line with God's word, you don't need to continue to ask God over and over and over again. After you ask him, the remainder of your prayer should be focused on thanking God for his promised response. And since there are demons attempting to block the delivery of your answer in your life, your prayers should also focus on asking God to intervene in the situation to remove Satan from causing the delay in your answer. Now, Paul urges us to pray in a like manner in the passage that I read when I started the sermon today. After detailing the different pieces of the armor, Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 and 18 that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So being on the alert means that we are to pray with our eyes wide open. This is something that I've, tried to practice. I remember being young and, they'd say it's time for prayer. What does everyone do? They bow their head and they close their eyes. And that was a lesson of disciplining your attention span. Your eyes are shut. You can't be looking at everything that's going on around you. Your head is bowed in reverence to God. Then as we matured, we stopped bowing our heads, and you would hear a preacher say, "Will you pray? Let's look to God." So then everyone would say, "Well, God is not down, he's up." So we would throw our heads back, and we would open our eyes, and we would look up as if we're looking into heaven, into the spiritual realm. And I started to begin to understand that there was a pattern and a practice to this physical application of what Paul is telling us. We need to pray with our eyes wide open, not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes. Because how we see things will determine for us how we feel and respond to what we see. So Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 8, the reason that we are to be on alert with our spiritual eyes open: your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we have to be on alert as we pray, because prayers prayed in response to God's word summons the will of God down from heaven. It causes heaven to intervene into the earth and are a dangerous threat to the devil and the kingdom of darkness. Every time we pray, as illustrated in what I've been sharing with you, We are a danger to the kingdom of darkness. Hell wants to block heaven from reaching earth. And when I say hell, I'm not talking about the place of torment. I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness. It wants to block heaven from reaching earth. And it will do anything it can to stop us from praying. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you pray, a number of distractions begin to show up? Or maybe that's the moment you get sleepy, even though you weren't sleepy before you began praying. Satan and his demons, in alignment with your flesh, will try everything they can to stop you from praying, because prayer is the tool through which the armor of God manifests its greatest potential for victory. We put the armor on, and prayer allows the armor we wear to be victorious in the fight we're in. Let me just tell you this quick story as I close for today. There's a story that I read about. There were two hunters, and this deals with perception, and it's important. And I think you'll get what I'm talking about as I expound upon this. But there's a story that there were these two hunters, and they heard that there was a bounty of $5,000 for every wolf that could be killed in this specific given area. So these two hunters, they decide that, you know, they're going to go wolf hunting so that they can strike it rich. And they felt that they were pretty good at their trade. They could hunt wolves, the two of them, and kill them, and, you know, one by one, and over time, they would be wealthy. Now, it's a dangerous job. And this job takes them deep into the heart of the forest. Now, one night, while one of the men was awakened to what sounded like growling, he decides to take a look outside his small window. And he saw not one wolf snarling at him, but he saw more than 50 snarling wolves surrounding them with their teeth glittering in the moonlight. Wow, what trouble you're in now, some might say. But this hunter turns to his friend, awakes his friend, and says, "We're going to be rich." You see, perspective is everything. There's two ways to see that. The 50 wolves surrounding you, I'm going to be dead. Or the 50 wolves surrounding you times 5,000 apiece, I'm going to be rich. Perspective is everything. If the enemy's trying to distract you from praying, I want you to understand, first and foremost, that is a golden sign. Because that means your prayers are causing him to be concerned. But don't let Satan intimidate you or keep you from praying fervently in the spirit. When you have suited up for the battle in the heavenlies, prayer is your ticket to take you straight into the heart of it all. Many of the things that you have asked God for in prayer, he has already answered. He's already approved them. It's only that Satan is now attempting to block your answer from reaching you. So don't give up, and don't spend your time focusing on what has already been done. Instead, thank God for what he has promised and persevere in prayer until the Kairos moment arrives, when you will receive your victory and you can declare in boldness, "I called upon the name of the Lord and he heard me and he responded to me and he delivered me," because he wants me to know his secret. That is the power of prayer. When you pray, you cause the kingdom of darkness to shake. It is like earthquakes that we experience in the natural realm, the shifting of tectonic plates, which means there is a recrafting of the earth. It means that there is a coming together and a redesign of the foundation of the earth. when these tectonic plates shift and cause the earth to quake. When you pray, it is a redesign. It is the shifting of spiritual tectonic plates in your life that's recrafting your life to reflect the glory of God. This is how amazing and how powerful your prayer is, and why you can never allow it to become mundane and just a repetitive group of words that someone told you to say at some time before. Even when we look at the model prayer, the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This in response to the question, how ought we to pray, was not a command to regurgitate words. It was a pattern to cause heaven to engage and intervene in your earthly crisis. You ought to just celebrate, because when you start praying like this, you're going to see things change in your reality. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week. Have an awesome Sunday, and know that we love you, we're praying for you, and God wants to share with you his most intimate secrets.
This has been a production of the GMFC Studios. God bless you.